That's awesome, because again, I need the encouragement. We'll go ahead and take a look at our bulletins. Hopefully you were able to get one. So I just want you to, we won't be meeting this evening yet again, so you'll have some time to pray at home. Just remember, God said that whenever these things come upon us, the pestilence and all these different things, shouldn't be a surprise to us, but we need to understand that God's trying to get our attention during these times. And so he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Our number one problem is a sin problem. I mean, that's for every one of us, and that's not judging anybody. We're all sinners. And sometimes we sin and we don't realize it, and God's got to get our attention. And so whenever we look introspectively and we ask God to search our hearts, God can show us things. And you know what we need to do when God shows us things? We need not argue with him. We just need to repent. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's a promise. And God has never gone against any of his promises. Now we look in our bulletins as well for the dates coming up, and so kind of mention some of our plans for the future. We will be having a gathering on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. as well for the National Day of Prayer. Can't imagine the time in my lifetime that I've ever seen that our nation needed more prayer than today. And so, again, God hears the prayers. He wants us to pray. He loves it whenever his people cry out to him, and he responds. And so we'll be looking forward to that. So also, you've got some information in there about my mom's funeral services. Tuesday, 5 to 8 at Dietrich's Funeral Home, we'll be having visitation. Again, trying to respect that 6-foot social distancing as people come and go. Then we'll also be having the service for her at 11 on Wednesday at Dietrich's, and then the burial at Sandy Baptist Cemetery. And Sandy Baptist has been gracious to allow us to use their kitchen to serve a meal there as well. And so just be in prayer for our family as we come together to honor my mom's life and just to honor God. We want God to be glorified and lifted up. So I would ask you if you had any other announcements. I guess you could holler from your car. Does anybody else have an announcement? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to move on into the message. Hopefully, if you were able to get the bulletin, you also have the sermon notes. I forgot to take a picture of them this morning, put them on Facebook. But our Facebook technician over there, myself, Alexis, does such an awesome job. Give her a horn honk and say thank you. She does great. And yes. So remember, I didn't know that, but the governor, thank you for mentioning that. Governor of Missouri, Parson, asked that we be praying today, that this would be marked as a day of prayer for our state and our nation as we're getting ready to open up our state and have a little bit more freedom with our businesses and everything. And so let's just stop, and we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray before we get into the Word. Dear Father, just want to thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth, and you are good. And you will navigate us through this time. We just need to keep an eye on you. We need to watch the hand of our master. We need to move with you. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving us governing leaders and those. I pray that you will give them wisdom, that you will bless them. I pray that as they open up our state, that you would just prove how awesome and powerful you are by keeping us safe, Lord, and by showing that 1,000 may fall on our side, 10,000 on our right hand, but it will not come near you, Lord. Come near us as your people. And Lord, that's speaking of the enemy. And Lord, I know that the enemy means this for evil. But Lord, I pray you'd turn it back over on his head. And Lord, that you would save the people of the United States of America. Lord, those who are yours, those who are not yet yours, but that the enemy would fall by the wayside, that Satan and his dominion of power would just absolutely fall by the wayside, that all of this would just come back on him, Lord, and it would just help to destroy his kingdom. I pray that your people would continue to love others. We would continue to live out our faith, and we would continue to see a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our nation right now. Lord, again, I pray for protection. And not just from COVID, but Lord, from the loss of freedom as well, Lord. Now, we may have given it up temporarily so that we could cooperate, But Lord, I pray that you would restore those freedoms in the future that we use to glorify you, Lord, the freedom of religion, the freedom to actually come together and worship, Lord. I know a lot of states are still really struggling in these areas. And so I pray that you would just continue to uphold our freedom and that we will use our freedom, Lord, to make disciples of all nations, just like you told us to. Lord, there's other nations that are much more impoverished than us, that the poverty is just being compounded by these stay-at-home orders and lockdown procedures. And Lord, I'm getting prayer requests from all over the world of people who are asking us to pray for them because literally people are starving to death because they can't get food. And so, God, I pray that you would just help the Christian organizations to be able to reach out to them, Lord, and show the love of Christ during these times of crisis. And Lord, please just, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit all across the world. And yes, Lord, one more prayer. I pray for your persecuted church all over the world as well, and for the plight of the weakest of all human beings, the unborn, Lord. I pray that you would bring an end to the legalized abortion, Lord. And I just pray that, again, you would turn it back on the enemy and that you would punish him with his desires to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, we look forward to the day that he is thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And we proclaim it today. And Lord, I know he gnashes his teeth every time he hears us. Remind him that he is going in the lake of fire. And Lord, that you are victorious. Whenever you died on that cross and gave your life, you rose from the dead to show that you are the victor. You are the victor forever, and everybody who calls on your name shall be saved. And we will live with you forever. And so, God, I thank you for that promise. And Lord, we've been studying in your word that during that last 40 days after your resurrection, the last 40 days you were on earth, Jesus, you had some teaching to do. You had some preparation to do in your disciples. And we're still kind of in that mode of looking at that. And today we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 21. Lord, I pray you'll teach us. God, give us your word today to sustain our souls and our spirits and to feed us so that we can do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, today, last week I didn't do this. Amen. Last week I didn't wear my hat. But I'm just going to tell you, I've been peeling off skin all week long. So today I'm going to wear my hat while I preach. And so I know it talks about not prophesying with your head covered. I believe it's talking about how they cover their head with a shawl to show that the Old Testament law is their covering. And I do not believe that the Old Testament law is my covering today. Jesus is my covering. Amen. But I can't handle the sunburn this week. It was too painful last week. So let's go ahead and get out our Bibles, and we'll be in John chapter 21. Also, hopefully you have the sermon notes from John chapter 21, and we're going to still be taught by Jesus today. I can tell you, when Jesus teaches us something, we don't forget it easy. When Jesus teaches us something, he never leaves us or forsakes us. He always has us in his grasp, in his care. I'm just going to tell you a real quick little story before I get started here. My mom shared a story with me about her childhood, and I knew that when she was a small child, she had professed Christ as her Savior and been baptized. Didn't know all the details, and I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I'll be honest, I don't ever remember her trying to tell me the details, but one day we were going up to the hospital together to get one of her treatments, which I might say, guys, that has been some of the most precious time just being with my mom. I am so thankful for that opportunity to take her back and forth to the hospital. That was not a burden to me. It wound up being the most amazing blessing. But one day, we were riding along, and I asked her, I said, Mom, what were the circumstances of your baptism as a child? And she said, I've kind of been thinking more and more about that, and I'm kind of glad you asked. She said, they lived up in St. Louis off Arsenal Street. She lived with her dad. Her dad and stepmom had a very different lifestyle. They were left at home a lot as kids and by themselves. She had a couple older siblings and a younger sibling, and they were just trying to figure things out. And I think she was maybe 7 or 8 years old at the time. She said she heard some music down the street one day, and so she got out and walked down the sidewalk, just a little old thing. She said, I can still remember the day because I was wearing an old tattered pair of shoes, and the sole was flapping. It was torn loose from my shoe, and the sole was what kept catching on the sidewalk. And she said, I went down the road, and I saw this church building, and the doors were open. And I could hear this music coming out, so I went in. She said, I don't know why. Nobody else accompanied me. Nobody else went with me. Nobody else really wanted to go with me. She said, but every Sunday morning, I'd get myself up, and I'd walk down to that church building. She said, still to this day, I wonder why, what it was that drew me there, except for I knew that people in there showed me love. And she said, you know, that was something I didn't have a whole lot in my home during those days, was love. And she said, man, that love just drew me in. And she said, I continued to listen to the message, and after a few weeks, I felt like that I really just needed to go to the front during the altar call time. She said, I was just a little old thing. I walked up there by myself, and that preacher met me at the front, and you know what? He had love in his eyes, and he counseled me on what I needed to do. And she said, I came back in later days, and I wound up being baptized in that church. And she said, I'll tell you what, through the years, I strayed pretty far from that. She said, I realized something the other day. God never forgot me. She remembered that love. And I'm going to tell you, the love of that church drew her to the love of Christ, and that's where she found salvation, at the foot of the cross. And you know, whenever I was growing up, we had a much different life, and we didn't really go to church. But whenever I started going back to church as an adult, which I wasn't raised going to church. I'd been in a church building maybe twice or three times my whole life. But I got saved, and I knew I needed a church, and I wound up being in Sandy Baptist, which was a church they were familiar with because my dad had gone there many years ago. My mom came to me one day, and she said, you know, I heard you've been going to that church, and that nanny's been going with you too. She said, I think I'd like to go with you. And I said, well, that would just be awesome, Mom. I would love that. And she went back to church, and eventually, through prayer, my dad came back. And one day my mom came up to me. She said, you know, I've often wondered if my heart was really fully committed to the Lord when I got baptized at that young of an age. She said, I don't really remember it like I feel like I should, so I'm going to go forward and ask the pastor to baptize me. And I said, I think that would just be awesome. And I think it was on September the 12th or something like that. And 2003 or 4, I don't know, I've got her baptism Bible at home. She got baptized in that church. She humbled herself before the Lord. She humbled herself before the church. And I just want you to know, guys, God loves you. God wants you to walk closely with Him because He wants to protect you. He loves you. And even if we ever start to stray away from Him, I want you to know He is always calling us to come back to Him because He loves you. He proved it on the cross. And He will continue on in relationship with you if you will just allow Him to do that. He wants you to be taught by Him, and He will never leave you or forsake you. And that's what He came to kind of tell His disciples here, I think, right before He was going to go back to heaven. You remember Peter had denied Christ right before He went to the cross. Whenever He went to His trial, he denied Him. And if y'all remember, I mean, if we were all sitting in the building, I'd ask you to answer this one. How many times did he deny Christ? Hold up your hand. I see one right there. Three times, right? Three times he denied Christ. And in the Bible, it's interesting because when something's repeated three times, it means I really mean it. When God says something three times, he's expressing something. He really means it. Whenever you see someone else express something three times, they really mean it. And Peter really meant it. You know, I mean, he didn't want to be crucified with Christ. He wanted to be strong. He wanted to be tough, but he didn't have it in him. We don't have it in us, guys. We need to get it from God Himself to be able to stand for Him. But we've got Peter, and he denied Him three times. And I'm sure, you know, we see he went away, wept bitterly. I can't imagine how bitter his weeping was. He's had a couple of experiences with Christ, but you know, God wanted him to be fully prepared for what lay ahead of him. So let's just jump into it here in John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin. Remember, he was doubting Thomas, right? Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Guys, that brings me to my first point I want you to get from this. When we're left up to ourselves, we're going to return to our old ways. Do you ever see that in your own life? Whenever we kind of get separated out just by ourselves, and maybe we don't seek God like we should, we're not in fellowship with others who are further along in the faith to encourage us. We'll go back to our old ways. You remember Peter was a fisherman first before he met Christ. Christ actually told him that he was going to change him and make him a fisher of men. But you see, whenever there was a lack of really knowing what to do, Peter just went back to what he always did. And you know what? It kind of brings me to my next point. If you read the next couple of verses there, you notice they caught nothing in verses 4 and 5. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" Well, he already knew the answer to that question. Because you see, guys, when we're out of the will of God, he'll thwart our plans. He'll make it hard. Everything around us will be like thorns and thistles, and nothing will succeed. And they answered him, "No." Right? They said no. And then Jesus in verse 6 said, cast your net on the other side. So guys, without him, we can do nothing. I want you to know that. If you're a child of God and you're straying from him and you're trying to do things on your own, in your own strength, I just want to warn you, I want to encourage you this morning, it won't succeed. Nothing will succeed unless we put it under the umbrella of Christ. And in fact, he'll even come and he'll ask, and he'll say, "How's it going for you?" You know, he wasn't being a smart aleck. He was coming. He was coaxing them out. They weren't totally recognizing him yet. You know, sometimes when God speaks to you, you may not be recognizing it yet. But he'll just ask, "How's it going? How's your life working for you right now?" And guys, I'm just going to tell you, without Christ, it ain't. It's not going to work. We need Christ in our life. And so, that, you know, here's the thing. When we decide to obey him and put him first, he's going to provide. You look at that verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Guys, Peter had that experience with him once. And they had fished and fished and fished, and Jesus said, "Cast your net on the other side." Guys, the fish on this side of the boat ain't that much different than the fish on that side of the boat. I just want you to know, boats ain't real big. I've fished in boats before and fished on both sides. If they ain't biting, they ain't biting. But here's the deal. Whenever Jesus said, "Cast your net on the other side," what was impossible with man became instantly impossible with God. And they had a huge catch both times. And I'm just going to tell you, it reminded Peter of who he was. You always want to remember that he's providing these physical things for us to, so that we will recognize his love. In verse 7, "Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea." You ever wonder why he put on his outer garment to go swimming? Did that one catch your attention? I don't know about the rest of you guys, but whenever I go swimming, I'm trying to get rid of anything that might cause me to go down. So I take off the outer garment to go swimming. He put on the outer garment to go see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, because as soon as you encounter Jesus, there's going to be one thing you'll notice every time. You're going to be aware of your sin. That covering up was a symbol of him understanding his sin before God. And he didn't want to be naked before him. Guys, that's the thing. Nakedness represents shame whenever it comes to the issue of sin. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. There's nothing to be ashamed of about your body. But if y'all remember way back in the Garden of Eden, whenever they had the first sin, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid, and they sewed themselves man-made garments of fig leaves to try to cover themselves. And it's an issue of trying to cover the nakedness of sin. Amen. One person is tracking with me here. Y'all tracking with me? Go ahead. You can. All right. So I want you to hear me. I'm not body shaming here, because I've had that remark back to me before whenever I try to explain this. This is sin shaming. It's okay to be ashamed of sin, but just don't try to hide it from God. Bring it out into the open. And we're going to see that through this story, as Peter is being taught by Jesus, he's going to draw him out so that his sin is exposed so he can heal it. So that then Peter can be fully girded up to serve God. Continue on reading in verses 8 through 11 there. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Remember how he was making him a fisher of men? That number 153 represents the known peoples of the world during that time, like the known nations. You remember he was going to tell them to go out and make disciples of all nations. So he was showing them, you're going to have the power and the ability to make disciples of all nations. And it's funny that they would count the number of fish, and that would be the number. I want you to know, details are in the Bible so we can learn from them. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. You remember, Jesus wants to have that fellowship with us. In fact, he's preparing a feast for us in heaven, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Someday we're going to partake of him at his second coming. We go to be with him. And if you remember the other two encounters, he fed them. They had like a Lord's Supper type of presentation every time he'd show up, showing who he was, that he was in the flesh. And so once again, he comes to them, and Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dare asked him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. You ever wonder, where do you get that fish? He's telling them to bring something to eat, and it turns out he already had fish fixed for them. Isn't that amazing? God don't need us to do his work. You see, God wants to involve us so that we get the benefit as well. He isn't sitting back saying, man, I'd do all these things if them folks would just do it for me. He doesn't need us. He wants us to have relationship with him while we do it. Now, I want you to know you are his chosen vessels. And if you won't do it, he'll find some way to accomplish most of his purposes in this world. All of his purposes will be accomplished some way. But I want you to know, he does definitely proclaim the gospel through his people. Have you ever noticed you haven't seen angels up there in heaven trying to proclaim the gospel? Now, he does it through his creation. He does it through means. He does it through dreams. But he still desires we, his people, agree with him to go and do it. And so he is sovereign over it. But he also is asking us to join him in it. And he wants us to do it willingly. Y'all remember a prophet named Jonah? That's what happens if we don't want to do it willingly, okay? That had to be one yucky 3 days he spent in the belly of that fish. But he was spit back out on dry land to go on and do what he was supposed to do in the first place. Okay, verse 14 tells us that this is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's interesting that John would note that. Again, whenever God does something three times, says something three times, means he really means it. We know Peter denied him three times. Now Jesus shows up three times in his life, and he's going to show him something three times as we continue on in this journey, learning from Jesus today. And so we continue in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And you see, I put something in parentheses there. I'm going to let you do a little word study this morning. Some of y'all have heard me teach on this just in small detail, but we're going to look at it a little deeper today. That word for love there is a little different than the word that Peter uses for love. In fact, it's agapeo, which would also mean the same as the word we get, agape. You know, it's like unconditional, godly type love. And so Jesus asked him, do you love me? With this kind of like a type of perfect love, more than these. And everybody wants to contemplate, what are the these? Are these the fish, the gift, the food, the provision? Is it the disciples? What is it? What are the these? And I'll say yes to them all. Jesus is saying, do you love me more than anything else? These. Guys, you can fill in the blank for these. That's why Jesus didn't get extremely specific, I believe, on this. He wants you to decide what goes into the blank for these. Is it your wife, your husband, your family, your parents, your job, your material possessions? What are the these? Because all good gifts come from God, but he wants us to love him more than these. And so he asked him a question, and that's kind of where we get the subtitle. Jesus isn't just looking for your affection, folks. Rather, he wants your love in action. He wants to see your love by what you do. And that's what he goes on. He says, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo, which means brotherly love, or have good affection for. Yeah, you know I have affection for you, Jesus. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Put that love in action, boy. Put that love in action. Let me see your love by what you do. In fact, if you go back to Matthew chapter 25, you're going to find that Jesus spelled it out for us how to show him love. He said, whatever we do unto the least of these, even so we have done it unto him. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying, Peter, if you say you love me, I want to see it through your actions. And so Jesus keeps us in the test until we learn what we need to learn. Have you ever had God or you're communing with Jesus or you're in the Spirit, you're reading the Bible, it seems like God just keeps telling you something over and over and over again, and you're going, okay, I heard you, God, I heard you, God, I heard you, God. Apparently we haven't heard him yet with our heart because he keeps reminding us he's got something he wants to instill in us. So you keep pressing in with God until you find out what it is he wants. And God's going to keep repeating until we get the point. In fact, in verse 16, he goes on to say, again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you really love me, Simon? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you like a brother. I have affection for you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Again, he says, I want to see your love in action. I want to see your love in action. Guys, here's the thing. In this next verse, we're going to see where Jesus kind of stoops down to meet Peter in a place where he can understand him better. That's what God does to us. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there, guys. He wants you to grow. And so he'll come and he'll meet us where we are, but he'll do it so that he can take us to the next level, and that's what he's going to do in this next statement, I believe. He said to him a third time, remember, three times, Peter denied him. Three times Jesus is going to ask him. And in this third time, he uses Peter's word for love here. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved because he had said a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, this is definitely enough evidence to me to see that God wants us to preach the gospel. Do I get an amen to that? He wants us to disciple others. He wants us to continue on till he comes back. He has never changed his command to us or his job for us. It just goes along with what he said right before he went up into the clouds and he said, go therefore. Because he has all the power. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. This age ain't done till Jesus comes back. He has never changed his calling for us. And guys, I'm telling you something. You don't have to make it significant for the culture in this day and age. The Bible is significant forever. It says everything else is going to pass away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. And so it is significant. It is relevant. That's a popular word today. It's got to be relevant. Guys, salvation's always relevant because every man, woman, and child that ever lives is going to have to taste death. We need to be prepared. It is relevant. And so you keep preaching it. And that's how we show Jesus that we love him as well. By loving the sheep, tending the sheep. The sheep is his church. He loves his church. He died for his bride. And he wants us to show him we love him by taking care of his bride. Guys, I can tell you something. I love my bride. I love that woman. We're going to be married 35 years this year, and I love her. And whenever y'all show her love, it makes me feel loved. Even if you don't even say anything to me, If you show my wife love, I'm saying, you know what? Those folks care about me because they love my wife too. You know what? Jesus is saying the same thing. He wants to see our love in action. Love is a verb. Love needs to be lived out. Don't you just go telling Jesus, I'm affectionate for you. I kind of like you. I get warm fuzzies when I think about you, and that somehow glorifies you. Guys, he wants us to live it every day of our life. He wants us to be all about it. He wants to be our number one. He's asking us today, do we love him more than these? And so you say, what are the these, preacher? I'm still confused. I'm going to say, more than anything, more than life, more than family, more than anything, he wants you to love him. I'm going to tell you, right now the church is being tested, folks. The church in America, the church worldwide is being tested. I know this COVID-19 thing is a real illness. You're not going to hear me say that I don't think it is. But I'm going to tell you, God's bigger. And we just need to continue to trust him. Maybe we take, you know, we take some precautions. Maybe we do things a little different way. That's okay. But we just need to make sure we got our faith where it belongs. Don't put your faith in the CDC. Don't put your faith in the World Health Organization. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks, those are the same people pushing abortion all over this world. We need to put our faith in Jesus Christ and make sure it stays there. And yeah, we're not going to deny facts about germs and how they get transmitted and all that stuff. I shook a couple people's hands today, and you know what? You ain't seen me chew on my fingernails. I'm not going to until I wash my hands. I think we should take precautions. I think we should take precautions. Y'all hearing me? But I want you to make sure you put Jesus first. I'm going to tell you, I went and prayed for a young man one time. He had MRSA. Anybody know what MRSA is? It's an antibiotic-resistant bacteria. It's one of the worst. I almost died of it whenever I was 11 years old, and I was told, don't ever get around it again. Don't ever get around people that have staph infections and stuff like that in a big way, because you are going to be susceptible. Well, I went to visit this young man in the hospital, and many of y'all might know him, Daniel Baldezzi. And he was laying there in that hospital, and he had a MRSA staph that was eating up to the bottom of his chin, and it had dug a hole in his chin about 3/4 of an inch deep. And it was continuing to eat, and they were afraid it was going to get into his neck, and nothing they were giving him was helping him. And God, I was standing there, I had my space suit on, you know, and my gloves on, and all that stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you, I get scared. I'm just like everybody else. I get scared sometimes. I got scared that day. I thought, I'm not even supposed to be in this room. The doctors told me not to. But I felt compelled to go in and pray for this young man. He wasn't part of our church or anything like that. I just knew him. Knew of him, really. It was the first time we'd really met face to face. But God instructed me to go to that hospital that day and pray for him. And as I stood there by his bed and I was getting ready to pray for him, God said, take your gloves off and lay hands on that boy. And now everybody just went, whoa, now you're getting crazy now, preacher. You just need to back off because that, you know, the CDC says that's a bad idea. I believe the CDC. It was a bad idea by human terms. But the Bible says that they should call on the elders of the church and we should anoint them with oil. Guys, to anoint somebody with oil, you're going to have to touch them to some degree. It also talks about the laying on of the hands of the elders. And so, I don't know, I just told him, I looked at him and I said, I'm a little bit scared about this, but God just, I felt like instructed my heart to lay hands on you and pray for you. Would that be okay? He said, it's okay for me, but it may not be okay for you. And I said, brother, I trust. I trust God wants me to do this. And I took my gloves off and I laid hands on that boy and I prayed for him. And I'm just going to tell you, God healed him. God healed him. I didn't heal him. God healed him. But I believe he did use the faith of a person who was willing to just do what he said. I'm not taking the credit for it. It's the first time I've ever publicly told the story because I don't want you to hear me saying that I did something. I didn't do anything. In fact, I was scared to death. I was quaking in my boots. I went and washed my hand from it almost off of my body. You know, because, guys, I get the idea. I'm not stupid and I'm not denying science, but I'm also not going to discount God. He said, lay hands on that boy and pray for him. And you know what? I didn't get sick. And God healed him within just a few days. He was out of that hospital. He had a bill that was built up, and he didn't have any money to pay it. And I'll tell you what, God even paid the bill. God knows how to take care of his people. He asked me about that bill one day, and I just said, Daniel, I just believe if you continue to serve God and trust him, he'll take care of it. And he said, I believe that too. And we prayed together, and God took care of it. $25,000 is just written off. God knows how to take care of his people in a famine, folks. God knows how to take care of his people in pestilence. Now, you'll see me running around grabbing hold of every sick person, but whenever God says, minister to that person, I think we need to be willing. Right now, the church is being tested. Guys, they're opening up the state parks. They're letting people go camping again and stuff. And did you know our camp board decided to close the camp till September the 1st? Where's the church? I can see not having an organized camp out there, but I think maybe you ought to call the association and just say, you know, you don't need to be angry. Just say, we as a church and your association would kind of like to see the camp be available to at least a family who might want to go out. Y'all, as families, y'all touch each other, don't you? Give me a horn honk if you touch your family members. All right. Would you be safe to go to Bates Creek Camp and walk around and enjoy the beauty of that your associational money has been taken care of? I believe so. So maybe you ought to call the association office, not in an angry way. Now, don't you tell them, Pastor John told me to call over and give you a hard time. I'm saying it is there, and I think we need to use it in faith. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. They're opening up state parks, and they're saying other people can go camping. I think that maybe we as the church need to lead the way on this and say we believe God can take care of us. Amen? So here's the deal. The church is being tested, and you need to be asking yourself, do I love him more than these? Do we just feel affectionate toward him, or do we love him with action? Amen. Have we really given our all to Jesus? I praise God that my mother was tested this past week. And here's her words that she told me before she started being in the deepest part of that test. She looked at me and she said, Johnny, I want to finish well. I want to be brave. She said, I want to trust God. She said, I want you to be proud of me. She said, I want God to be proud of me. I said, Mom, as long as you make sure God's proud of you, you know, that you do it for him. That's all I'm asking you to do. And she said, but Johnny, you've been the one encouraging me in God, and I want to make you proud too. And I'm just going to tell you, I've never been more proud of my mom than Friday morning at 4:30 when she drew her last breath in faith without complaining. And she gave her heart into Jesus' hands, trusted him through the finish line. I want to praise God for all your prayers because I think they strengthened her. But I want to praise God because he's the one who gave her the faith. Church, let's live by faith. Let's live by faith. Let's walk by faith. Let's love others by faith. Don't let fear control your life. Let faith control your life. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Dear God, I pray for each and every person that's in this parking lot right now, for any that might be watching on Facebook. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to bless us, to just give our hearts to you, to watch you, to follow you, to want to be more like Jesus. It is the will of God that we be conformed to the image of your dear Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so, God, I pray that each and every day you would be conforming us more to his image, Lord. If there's anybody in this parking lot today who has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you would open the doors of heaven, that you would cry out to them by name, and you would say, come, give me your heart, trust me, and you too will be saved. Lord, it's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters. All this other peripheral stuff in life that confuses us and distracts us is only temporary. The only thing that matters is, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do we love Him more than these? And so God, today, confirm it in our hearts. And for those who do and know You and are all for You, then I pray, O God, that they will follow You and love You with action. In Jesus' name, amen.